and excitement you hear is Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church here in DeQuincy, Louisiana, United States of America. Thank you so much for clicking on to our website. And in just a few moments, we're going right into the message. A message that has been on my heart for many months. And I have prayed so many hours about delivering this today. God said, this is the time. Now you'll need your Bibles. You'll need to listen. And you'll need an open heart as we study the Word of God together. I do not intend to criticize other churches. I only want to preach in a positive way what God has done in this generation for the Church of Jesus Christ, the original Apostolic Church of the New Testament. God bless you for clicking on to our Sunday Night Live ministry. And now for our messages from across the nation and around the world is our Missions Director, Missionary Jerry Schultz. Let's give him a good welcome to the Calvary Church as he shares the message with us. God bless you, Brother Schultz.
That touches our heart. It says, Pastor Hicks, this is Charles Sarver's niece, Stephanie. Just wanted to let you know that I listen to your messages on the internet. I really enjoy it. Hope all is well. God bless. Stephanie from Grand Isle, Louisiana. Here's another one. Dear Pastor Hicks, our mother, Lucille Wigley, passed away at the age of 91. We appreciate the part that you had in her life as her pastor for so many years. We praise God's continued blessing on your life, Craig and Rosemary from Austin, Texas. Now, this message that I am about to read, I want you to listen carefully and prayerfully. It says, Dear Pastor Hicks and Missionary Schultz, my name is Killam Nyangisa. I am a pastor overseeing 27 churches here in Kenya, South Africa. I come across your broadcast on their website and was greatly touched. God bless you greatly for ministering this kind of healing to the body of Christ. Would you please pray about coming to Africa and minister in our area? God bless and keep you, Reverend Killam Nyangisa and Rose Nyangisa, Kenya, South Africa. How much better can it get? Praise God.
Amen.
What a blessing to know that our humble pastor here in DeQuincy, Louisiana, is carrying the message of Jesus Christ to that nation. Again, let me remind you and encourage you to write Pastor Hicks at Post Office Box 715, DeQuincy, Louisiana, 70633, or go on the internet at calvarysnl@aol.com and send us an email message. We greatly desire to hear from you, whether you're in a faraway country halfway around the world or just down the street here in Lake Charles. We certainly want to hear from you. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you. And here again is our pastor, Brother Hicks.
To tell the story. Thank you, congregation. And while you're standing, would you please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Our text says, And some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to speak to you today on one of the most important and urgent messages that I have ever preached. The subject is, would the real Protestant please stand up? A little boy was praying to God. He said, Dear God, Grandpa says that you were around when he was a little boy. God. God, how far back do you go? Love, Dennis. My friends, many have asked God that same question about His church. How far back does it go? I want to address that subject as I speak on the theme, Would the Real Protestant Please Stand Up? After 6 decades of studying the Bible and church history, I have discovered an astonishing fact. If you will open your heart, if you will open your Bibles, you will find a truth here that will assist you in discovering the true church of Jesus Christ. Now, there's one thing at the outset very certain. It is not the church of your choice, because Jesus said, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, John 15:16. Now, if you believe the Bible, you have to admit that the church, the true church, has been in existence since the day of Pentecost. It was not reformed under the Reformation ignited by Martin Luther, who was the father of denominations. Long before the revival at Topeka, Kansas, and Azusa Street in Los Angeles, the true church was a viable, living, surviving body of believers. The true church never became extinct. The reason is based on the words of our text in Matthew 16:18. Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice the words, shall not prevail. Personally, I believe that. In the Doctrines and Covenants of the Mormon Church, it is stated that the kingdoms of this world made war against the kingdom of God, and they prevailed against the kingdom of God. Grand Pratt, Journal of Discourses, 13:125. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A number of years ago, I was a board member of a religious access group overseeing the programs on Channel 10 in Texas. At a board meeting, Monsignor Freeman was commenting about the various denominations represented in the meeting. He said, and there is Pastor Hicks, whose denomination is Pentecostal, and he is a Protestant. Quickly, I rose to my feet, interrupted the good reverend and said, Sir, in all due respect, our church is not a denomination. To be a denomination, you have to denominate down from some other religion. And we are not Protestant, because in order to be a Protestant, you would have to come out from your church, the Catholic Church, in protest. The Pentecostals are the originals. The Catholic Church was begun in protest of the truth proclaimed in the original church, the Word of God. Of course, there was no comment. Just a moment of breathless silence. I want you to look with me at some biblical and historical facts. First of all, the church was started on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some teach the church began with John the Baptist in the wilderness. Others say that Jesus started the church at Capernaum during his personal ministry. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. The prophet said, The mountain, or kingdom, of the Lord's house shall be established in Zion, and the word of the Lord shall go out from Jerusalem. Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 24:47. Quote, That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning, not in the wilderness, not at Capernaum, beginning at Jerusalem. The next interesting truth is that God never designated a particular name by which the church would be identified. Had He done so, every church building would have that name on it, and of course, it would prove meaningless. There are those who say the name of the church is the Church of Christ. Sincerely, they cite Romans 16:16. And they cite this as proof. A grammatical investigation explains that verse. The preposition of indicates possession and ownership. Like the mules of John Smith. That means the mules belong to John Smith, not the name of the mules. We use the term Pentecostal, which means 50th, in reference to our relationship to the original, certainly, not the name by which the church is to be identified. It's an established fact, dear ones, that Christ is not the name of God. There are many Christs. There are false Christs. There will be the Antichrist. The name Jesus identifies which Christ you are talking about. And God hath given him a name that is above every name. And we honor that name because there is salvation in no other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Second, the church at Pentecost never ceased to exist. If it did, Jesus did not tell the truth in Matthew 16:18. When he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Our text warns that some shall depart from the faith, and those who do are Protestants. Then some will remain in the faith. They earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Jude, verse 3. And to the church at Corinth, the apostle wrote, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 58. Again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made you free. Let others depart, he is saying, but you stand fast. Let them protest. Again in Philippians 1, 27, stand fast in the Spirit. He is saying, let others become Protestants, but you stand fast. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. Now we live as we stand fast. 2 Timothy 1:1. Hold fast to the sound words in faith and love. But then there are those the apostle speaks of who will be Protestants. This text says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. And you must read 1 John 2:19. It's very important that you get a red ink pen and underline these words. Quote, they went out from us, for they were not of us. Or had they been of us, they would have, no doubt, continued with us. In other words, they would not have become Protestants. The apostle is saying, thank God, though they left, you stayed. The church has always existed since Pentecost. Again, he warns in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you. That day shall not come except there be a falling away. And even Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. But he became a Protestant, and Paul remained in the church. And now I want to ask you the question of our subject. Would the real Protestant please stand up? I see a great crowd in a meeting. And the minister, please, would the real Protestant stand up? How can we know? How can we identify? We can't do it by church history or by grandma and grandpa's religion or by the succession of the denominations. How can we tell the true church? Simply by the doctrine in the pulpit and the experience in the pew. That is the way to identify the true church. Now we can know, thank God for the Bible. First of all, I stand up and shout aloud, Jesus Christ is the Almighty. He is not a second person. He is the first and the last. And in Him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. A Protestant stands. No, that cannot be, preacher. My church teaches three people in God, not just one. We don't believe in Jesus only. That's true. Go ahead and protest. But the Bible said, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. And I cite Isaiah 9:6, the Son that is born and the child that is given, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. Revelation 1:8 speaks of Jesus. He said, I am the first and the last, not the second person, the first and the last, He which was, which is, and which is to come, the Almighty. There cannot be two or three Almighties. So that is why the Protestants would stand in a meeting and protest what I preach. The New International Encyclopedia, Volume 22, page 476 says, the doctrine of the Trinity is not found in the Scriptures. At the time of the Reformation, the Protestants accepted it without serious examination. The Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 3, page 365, the triune formula for baptism was not used until the 3rd century. Baptism in Jesus' name was so widespread that Pope Stephen, in opposition to St. Cyprian, said that baptism in the name of Jesus was valid, but the Catholic missionaries, by omitting two or more persons in the Trinity, were cursed, anathemized by the Roman Church. The formula of Rome today is, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, without mentioning any name, the name is Jesus. Next, I stand in a great crowd and proclaim that water baptism is by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. The real Protestant stands and cries out, no, preacher, no, no. I protest against that. Baptism is in the words of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and is done by sprinkling, not by immersion. Now ask, how can this be? When we are buried with Christ in baptism, buried, Romans 6:4, and Acts 2:38 says we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There are two Greek words for baptism. One is baptizo, which means to sprinkle. The other is baptizo, which means to immerse or dip. All baptisms in the New Testament feature the word baptizo, or to immerse. Baptizo is never mentioned with reference to water baptism in the New Testament. Caney Encyclopedia, page 53 says, the early church always baptized in the name of Jesus until the later development of the Trinity. Next, someone cries aloud, and I preach this fervently, baptism is for believers only, and babies cannot believe, so we don't baptize infants. No, no, the Protestant says. That is not true. My church baptizes babies so they won't go to hell and burn forever. Oh, my friends, in your protest, you must recognize there's not one example of that in all the Bible. Would the real Protestant please stand up? Again, I proclaim our faith in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, quote, came together, and they came together as husband and wife. And Jesus had physical brothers mentioned in the Scripture. And Mary was not divinely conceived, and her body was not assumed into heaven. Further, with all due love and respect for the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, the truth is she was not the mother of God. God is eternal. He never was born. He never died. Mary was the mother of the house of the body that God lived in. And that's why we call Him God, because in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. So protest loud and long if you will, but the Bible still speaks with the real Protestant. Please stand up. Again, I proclaim that we teach holiness of flesh and spirit. Oh no, shouts the real Protestant. You can't preach that, preacher. My church sold indulgences, paid for sins with money, then went forth to commit the evil, and from these funds we build giant cathedrals. That cannot be true, what you're preaching. I protest against it. But the Bible says, sir, without holiness no man shall see God, Hebrews 12:14, and we are partakers of His holiness. Now, the true church teaches confession to God. But somebody says, I'm protesting that. No, sir. We can confess our sins in a small cubicle in a church, and the priest can forgive us of our sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Mark 2:7, no man can forgive sin but God. Next, I say to you, the church was not built upon a man, but upon the Word of God. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:11. No, no, says the protester. Peter was the first pope, and Jesus built his church on him. I simply say that no religion can rattle a chain, a succession all the way back to the Apostle Peter. The truth is, Peter was baptized. The truth is, Peter was married. His mother-in-law was healed, and you can't have a mother-in-law without having a wife. And so he could not have been the first pope. And then the difference is what preachers preach today in that church and what Peter said is as far away as the northeast is from the west. The Bible says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 4:12 says, this is a stone rejected of you builders, for you have become now the head of the corner, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. My friends, if you have a church and that pope has a message and he preaches different than Peter did, he cannot be the pope. And now I think of the real Protestants have been identified. All the denominations, from Roman Church to Lutheran Church to Anabaptist Church of England to the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Disciples of Christ, Seventh-day Adventists, all are denominations that denominated down from the Roman Church, and therefore they are Protestants. But always remember, the true church is not a product of the Reformation. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, the church was not always in history books or on the front page of the news. But Jesus has to speak the truth. He cannot lie. And the church, therefore, has been in existence from the day of Pentecost. Missionaries now go to islands to bring them the message of Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost and the absolute deity of Christ. They begin to smile and say, we've had that on this island for centuries. Long before Topeka, Kansas outpouring and the Azusa Street Revival, the Holy Ghost was poured out upon men. Two nuns, Pandita and Ramaba, were fighting a fire that came upon the sheets of their bed as they began to speak with tongues, and they poured water on the fire and it wouldn't go out. It was wonderful manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Go to your bookstore. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. The true church suffered under Nero from 54 A.D. to Titus in 70 A.D. and all through the Dark Ages. But the true church never died. And now I close. But I want to remind you of something very special. I'm not preaching that any ecclesiastical organization will last forever. But the church will exist when the planets have gone to their graves and the Milky Way is wrapped up in a winding sheet of dust. The church will never need a shroud or a coffin. No power of man, no lapse of time will ever bring the church to naught. The lions of the Colosseum, the horrors of the catacombs and the flames of the stake will not obliterate the true church of Jesus Christ. It burns without being consumed. The church has proved imperishable. Thrones and empires rise and fall, but the light of the church still shines. Her voice still vibrates. The message is still pure. The true church is unassailable by the antagonistic forces of her enemy because her life is hid with Christ in God. exalted far above the changes of terrestrial things. The life of the church reflects its undimmed and deathless glory. The stability that Jesus Christ conferred upon the church and said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No apostasy, no infidel's pen, no atheistic word can ever stop the continuation of the church of Jesus Christ. Today, I hear that voice of ineffable sweetness. I'm so thankful for the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Above the tumult and shouting, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Above the sneers of those who sit in the seat of the scornful, the church, the gates shall not prevail. Above the acceptance of Mormonism, Catholicism plunging toward the presidency of our nation, above the objections to and persecution of anyone filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, but you say it's not a matter of religion. That is, until one seeks the vice presidency, who has been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Then there is the target, the hairstyle, the eyeglasses. Even her family is exposed to ridicule. Seeing that those who protest seem to hate that which they protest against. As I leave you tonight, I remind you that the same Jesus who said to the sinful woman, I forgive thee. To the dying thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. To the raging sea, peace be still. And to the dead at Bethany Cemetery, Lazarus, come forth. That same Jesus who said to the disciples, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. This is the same Jesus who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Tonight Live is produced and distributed by the Calvary Pentecostal Church, Incorporated. Won't you let us hear from you this week, wherever you are in all this whole wide world. Just remember that Jesus Christ loves you, and so do we. And now, speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, this is Jim Armstrong, thanking you for clicking on to Sunday Night Live, and may God bless you is our prayer.